lent up early the podcast. Today is March the 7th in the year of our Lord 2022. I'm Pastor Brian Wolfmuller. Thanks for jumping up early with me. Although I guess you could listen to this anytime you want, really. Anyhow, here's a reflection on this surprising word happy that shows up in the Passion account, and then a question from Adrian about why do we have the forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper if we have the forgiveness of sins in baptism? I really love this question. Hope you enjoy the podcast today. Keep in touch, wolfmuller.co, to write and to find all the other theological stuff. Here we go. Here's a little devotional thought. We are for Lent this year, the midweek services, reading through the Passion of Jesus drawn from all four Gospels. So it's kind of a mashup, puts everything there and puts everything in order. And so I'm reading through the first part of that, and it has to do with the Lord's Supper, the disciples fighting about who's the greatest, the washing of the disciples' feet, and all those things that happen on Maundy Thursday. And in the middle of that, as Jesus is, by what he's saying and by what he's doing, rebuking the disciples fighting about who's the greatest. So this is after his washing their feet. And he says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him." This would be right around John 13, verses 17 and 18 or so. And then this verse, which has a really surprising word, it jumped off the page and kind of slapped me in the eyes when I was reading it this morning, because the word that shows up in the middle of all of this suffering, I mean, there's a deep pathos here to the text. Jesus is already, I mean, he talks about how he longs to eat the Passover with them. Jesus' emotional state is profoundly moved here. And he's even about to go to the garden and pray this prayer that would cause him to sweat blood, so that the kind of notes about the emotions here I'm paying attention to. And into all of this deep affliction, deep longing, deep suffering comes the word happy. Jesus says, "Neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Makarioi is the word in Greek. It's the word for blessed that Jesus uses at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. On the Sermon on the Plain in Luke, blessed are the poor, and so forth. It's the word that starts the Psalms in Greek. Blessed is the man. When that's translated from Hebrew to Greek in the Septuagint. It's only used twice in the Gospel of John. He's rare with his happiness, with his blessedness here. It's used here in John 13, and then later in John chapter 20, when Jesus says to Thomas, "Blessed or happy are those who believe and yet have not seen." It's amazing to see that here. Now, happiness, and this is on my own radar, because happiness seems to be the goal for most people living their lives. It's kind of the mark of the modern mindset. What will make me happy? How can I be happy? And so forth. But we remember the Bible gives us this profound wisdom that you can't hit happiness by aiming for it. You can't get to happiness by chasing after it. If you're running towards happiness, it's like the rainbow. You never get to the base of it. So happiness is never given to us in the Bible as something to pursue. It is rather the result of pursuing God, pursuing his wisdom, pursuing his comfort, really being under him, hearing under him, listening to what he says. And he delivers happiness to us. So how to be happy is to serve. And this is perhaps one of these things that seems too simple. There's so many folks that are disaffected, that are unhappy, that are unfulfilled, that have lives that seem like they have no meaning at all, that they chase after happiness and they catch only the wind, but happiness is to be found at the end of service. Service first to God, and then service to the neighbor. And then comes this blessedness. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them, says your Lord Jesus. God be praised. Here's a great question from Adrian about the necessity of the Lord's Supper. Howdy. New Lutheran here, came over from Calvary Chapel after being convinced that the Lord's Supper is not symbolic and that Jesus is truly bodily present. I have a question about the Lord's Supper. My understanding is that we receive the forgiveness of sins through consuming the body and blood of Jesus, but aren't all of our past, present, and future sins forgiven by our baptism? If so, what makes receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ necessary? Thank you for your time, your brother in Christ, Adrian. Adrian, thank you for that question. It sounds like you and I are on similar tracks. I just might be a couple of decades ahead of you. We were really shaped in our theology, both Carrie and I, especially me, by Calvary Chapel. And Calvary Chapel gave me this great gift. It said constantly that we take the Bible literally. Now, they were mostly saying that to kind of underpin their dispensational eschatology. No matter, it doesn't matter. They said that, and that's true. We do. We take the Bible literally. We read the Bible how it is intended to be read. And so then when you're there in Calvary Chapel and you've learned this hermeneutic, and you come to the words of Jesus, this is my body, this is my blood. And then they say, well, now this is not to be understood literally. This is just a symbol. You say, well, why? Why do we take this symbolically? Why don't we take this literally? And we see, especially in the words of institution, that Jesus isn't intending them to be understood literally. He gives it to us in the language of the Testament. So, Adrian, God be praised for the Holy Spirit kind of peeling away all the confusion and giving you this simplicity in Christ. Now, your question about why is the Lord's Supper necessary, or why does the Lord's Supper forgive sins if that is an unneeded thing? Because all our sins are forgiven in baptism, past, present, and future, is a really interesting question. And I'm going to give you a few thoughts, but I'm going to encourage you and all our listeners to really kind of lean into this question. Because this is pressing down to the logic of the scripture and the logic of the sacraments and the logic then of the Lutheran confessions. And so it's moving you from the words that are there, which are plain, which is really all we need, and pressing to that sort of theological underpinning. I've been thinking a lot about this, the sort of substructure of theology. Because there's a lot of disagreements that happen there that are not so obvious. And so there's a different heart or a different spirit to the reading of the Bible. And one of the things that happens in evangelicalism is that grace alone becomes a sort of minimalistic theology. If we're saved by grace through faith and apart from our works, the what happens is that the gospel is reduced to the smallest possible thing. All it is to accept Jesus as Lord, and then you're saved. So in order to preserve the idea of grace alone, American evangelicalism, or evangelicalism in general, is sort of carving off all of what they see to be the extra stuff so that just the core is left. It's like, maybe to say it like this, if you've met people who are like pursuing a minimalistic life, they're trying to get rid of all the unnecessary things to where they only have a few things of what's needed. Well, it's like grace alone is like theological minimalism for evangelicals. And so they say, well, if believing in Jesus forgives sins, then why would you need baptism? It seems extemporaneous. And we have this minimalistic theological aesthetic. I think that's I'm just saying this for the first time, thinking about it for the first time now, but I think that's probably the best way to say it. A minimalistic theological aesthetic. So baptism seems unnecessary because, after all, I'm forgiven already. The Lord's Supper seems unnecessary because, after all, I'm forgiven already. But Jesus does not have a minimalistic a theological aesthetic. He is interested in giving us more. Now, let me say a quick word about how baptism and the Lord's Supper forgive sins. We remember that the forgiveness of sins is a promise. It's a word of promise that comes from Jesus. And so we receive the forgiveness of sins by believing the promise. So it's not simply in eating the body and blood of Jesus that our sins are forgiven. That would be the ex opere operato, the from the working of the work idea of the Catholic Church that the Lutherans reject. We say that Jesus gives us his body and his blood, and the believer and the unbeliever all eat the body and the blood, but the forgiveness of sins and the benefit of the supper comes in believing the word. So the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, those words for you require all hearts to believe. So when we eat the body and blood according to the word and the command of Jesus, we believe his promise, it's given and shed for us, and then we have the promise of the forgiveness of sins. So the Lord's Supper even requires faith. Salvation is always by faith. Same with the gift of baptism. It's not the raw act of being baptized, but the word that's there spoken. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the heart that believes those words, the gift of baptism, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So that the benefit is always received by faith. Now the benefit is given in a bodily way, in an eating and drinking and splashing and hearing way. But the benefit is grasped by the heart that believes the word. Okay? So we want to remember that. And when we remember that, it sort of starts to answer the question, why? Why does Jesus give it to us? So why is it necessary to receive the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins? It's necessary to receive it because Jesus says it, do this often. So the necessity comes from his command. But the benefit comes in the word. And Jesus is pleased to simply always be forgiving our sins. From start to finish. He always is coming to us, washing away our sins, casting away our sins, throwing away our sins. Now, I suppose if we were sturdier kind of folk, where we could hear something once and never doubt or waver, then Jesus would only have to tell us once. You know, he could baptize us and let us be. But baptizing us and letting us be, it's like the parents that have a baby and never feed it. You know, we are just not that sturdy. We are not that sturdy in our body. We have to eat every day, sleep almost every day. And the same thing spiritually. The Lord will continue to nourish our spirit and cleanse our conscience precisely by that word of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, which he gives to us abundantly in the preaching of the gospel and in the study of his word and in the Lord's Supper. So I think maybe the best way to think of it is the old German couple who were talking to each other, and the wife finally says one day when they're sitting on the back porch, and they've been married for 50 years, she leans over and says to her husband, "Do you still love me?" And he says, "Of course I love you. Why would you ask that?" And she said, "Well, because we've been married for 50 years. And the last time you told me you loved me was on our wedding day." And the husband says, "Well, I'll let you know if something changes." This is not how Jesus treats us. He comes to us. How did Jesus talk about it in Luke? Pressed down, spilling over into the lap in abundance. The Lord has more mercy than we even have sin. The Lord has more grace than we even need. And he just overflows us with his kindness. The gospel is this flood of mercy. It's so much more than we need. And this, I suppose, is why Jesus gives it to us. Why is it necessary to to receive the forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper if they're already forgiven in baptism? It's not. It's just how Jesus does it. He treats us with such a generosity and kindness that we have more of him and his life and his grace and his wisdom than we could ever possibly need. His gospel puts us in a broad place. It's his kingdom of abundance. And that's for our great joy. So I hope that helps, Adrian. I hope that helps your thinking about the Lord himself and the way he deals with us and these sacramental gifts. Thanks so much for the question. I keep in touch. I hope to hear from you again. God bless your study as you grow as a budding theologian. Thanks for everyone else for jumping in while we talk with Adrian about this as well. Thanks again for being part of the What Not the Podcast Lent Up Early Edition. So happy to be on this journey with you. If this is helpful for you, then maybe it'll be helpful for someone else. You can think about, hey, who should also listen to this? Or maybe you should warn people, hey, whatever you do, don't listen to it. Thanks for all the great questions. You can contact me through the website, wolfmuller.co. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. That's the Whatnot. I sent out two last week. Getting up early has got me reading all this stuff. It's great. Although I got to do some writing this week. We'll see. Say a prayer for me that the Holy Spirit would give me wisdom to crank through this article I'm working on. But yeah, thanks for your prayers. Keep in touch. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you tomorrow. God's peace be with you.